It's Monday, March 26th, and you're listening or watching The Geek at Geek News Central, show number 753, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Save 25% on a one-year fourth-generation hosting account by using the promo code CES2. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, folks, got a great show lined up for you, and getting a lot of feedback into my... There we go. That's a little better. I had to push the old earphones in a little bit because I was hearing myself yell at you guys. Everyone, I got a great show lined up for you. And what a goofy start. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right. I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey everyone, how are you? Welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all our great content on the website. Of course, check out all the archive podcasts available via the podcast link on the website. And of course, you can get signed up for our newsletter. You can subscribe to the show right on the main site. That's a place to get connected. Of course, if you are listening post-show and not live, you can watch the show on our Tech Podcast channel on the Roku, on the Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, on your Google TV, and just about 150 other devices. Matter of fact, I was talking with some other podcasters tonight about the other devices that are out there that are a lot of people are listening to a variety of shows on. And we'll talk about that here more in a second. But hey, if you want to reach out to the show, it's real easy. You can reach me at Geek News on Twitter. So that's the best way to follow and keep abreast of what's going on with the website, because we tweet out when new blog posts go up. Of course, all the content on our website is being written by our team members here at GNC. So they've been putting out some great stuff. We'll be talking about that, some of their articles a little later in the show tonight. But of course, you can email me here directly, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call me here on the 24-hour hotline at 619-342-7365. Leave your comments, thoughts, concerns, changes, whatever you think you need to say. Go ahead and fire them at me. Definitely appreciate it. But of course, I want to get a warm welcome to all of the Ohana, all of you that are longtime listeners of the show. Thanks for being here and being part of the family. It's been absolutely gorgeous here in Hawaii over the past week. And yes, I am feeling about 90% better from what I was in the last show. The last show, I was absolutely miserable and had medicated up heavily. It really didn't help during the show. The next day, I was just basically down for the count. Almost all day Friday, I didn't either move from the bed or the couch, and just it was bad. Saturday, I just had so much to do because I know this upcoming trip, I had to get a bunch of stuff done this weekend. So Saturday, I kind of sit here and work through sick and didn't even do the Saturday morning tech show because it wouldn't have worked. I was between hot sweats and then being cold. And my wife just sat here and just shook her head. She says, "You're going to kill yourself if you don't stop." But I had to do a whole bunch of paperwork. Talk about that some more in a minute as well. But hey, I tell you what, this show would not be possible without our sponsors. And of course, I want to thank GoDaddy.com for being a longtime sponsor here at the show, really bringing on and bringing some great deals to the forefront. We're going to have some great deals next month as well. But right now, I have really kind of the best of both worlds. We've got the ability for you to save some money on some .coms and some .cos. That should save some money on some hosting accounts and even on SSL certificates. So let me start off by saying first, you can get .cos, .coms, renewals or transfers, or initial, not renewals, because it'd be an initial purchase on transfers for $7.99, .cos.com by using the promo code COFEB3, COFEB3. Of course, our ComSale and ComSale 2 codes work for straight.com or strat, or .com renewals. Of course, you can find all my codes at geeknewscentral.com/ GoDaddy. We're also offering pre-free private registration with a domain purchase or transfer of $9.99 value for free by using the code March4. All these codes will be linked up in the show notes, but make sure you take advantage of our best deal yet, the fourth generation hosting account over at GoDaddy.com. You can save 25% on hosting plans 12 months or more. Right now, they're discounted at $8.49 on the website, but you can take an additional 25% off. So definitely get over there. And when you're using the promo code CES2, you'll save that 25% off on that fourth generation hosting accounts of plans 12 months. Again, 12 months or more. So I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. Again, get over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy and look at all those different codes. None of them expire. If you find one that doesn't work, let me know. If you use a promo code in conjunction with another promotion, you may not be able to use the code, okay? So if they offer you something and it's a better deal, obviously you want to jump on it, but we hope that you always keep us in mind. If it's a difference between a few cents and a purchase, you know, revert back, use my code when you can, because it really keeps the lights on, keeps family fed here, keeps the show rolling and moving forward. We want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor, and thank you for your support. Okay, what else? See, what's going on? You know, been quite active recently. There's a couple of groups that are starting to, there's a Facebook podcasting group. There's a Yahoo, Google group. It's not a Yahoo Google group. A Yahoo group. There is a LinkedIn group. All different, basically a variety of different themes of people that are talking about podcasting and new media. And it just amazes me sometimes, especially when it comes to people that have been creating content for a long time, on really sometimes how much, I hate to say it this way, but don't know, and become so scope locked in some of the things they do and some of the tools that they use. It really blows me away. Because the space has changed so much. You guys know, you hear show after show, you hear me talk about the space, but way things have been from where they were to where they are now, you know, is it's a world apart. And the new media space has changed dramatically in the past, you know, going on 8 years now. And there's still things going on. Matter of fact, I was talking with the team tonight about some things we're going to be doing. We're going to be introducing with our tech podcast network and really kind of, you know, using, not using, but having those guys lead the way and setting up some in, you know, moving forward and some new things we're doing. And, you know, too many people today, too many content creators, and you guys are listening to a lot of shows. I know you are. And if you feel that your content creator that you're listening to is falling into a hole, you need to send them an email and say, hey dude, you know, you need, there's some other stuff out there. You know, the number of devices being used to consume media like this right now is off the chart. Anything you have in your pocket, something to carry around, a laptop, whatever device you have can consume audio and media content. Most of it can do it to the podcast style by downloading it, or people just access it via their wireless or their 3G or LTE or whatever connection they may have. And, you know, it isn't always about downloading the show anymore. It's about listening where you want and when you want. And that's really the important part. And many of you can do that because you've got connectivity all the time. So, you know, when I hear someone that's completely focused on iTunes, it makes me a little bit worried that they're limiting their audience size by not going beyond iTunes, because I, you know, iTunes has had this continuous depression. Now, they're still a major player, don't get me wrong, but this continuous depression of listeners that actually listen to a show, I think, you know, we're probably around the 40% range right now from an overall statistic across a large number of shows. But it doesn't mean that they're coming through iTunes. They're coming through an iPad or an iPhone directly and not even using iTunes, to be honest with you. And many of those sites are not iPhone or iPad ready. They don't have an HTML5 player. They got a Flash player. You know, it's, people are consuming content different. So when I want, you know, when you guys come to this website, I know whatever device you're on, you're going to be able to play this media and you're going to be able to listen or watch whatever way you want to. And we've got it set up for those of you who do video can watch the mobile version of the show so you don't have as big of a download or big of a stream. And those that are at home and sitting in front of their big pipe, they can watch the HD version of the show, or you can go middle of the road and watch our 640 by 360 version of the video part. And then we try to keep the people on set-top boxes happy by doing a middle of the road feed to the set-top box so that you're not hitting your bandwidth so hard. But, things have changed, but irregardless, it just goes to show that we have to continue to try to educate podcasters and hopefully they'll continue to move forward. Speaking of which, Apple today and made I don't know when this announcement came. We got wind of it today, but Apple has basically announced that all album art now has to be 1200 by 1200 pixels. You know, the size before to use was 600 by 600, but it's all because of the Retina display and the new iPad. So they've made some additional changes as well and some other things. So we're making sure that we're up to date with all our paperwork and suggestions we give to content creators. You know, you guys could care less. It's not part of this normal tech show that we talk about this. But every once in a while, I want to share with you guys, you know, I'm trying to keep my thumb on the pulse of the space as much as possible. But Saturday, believe it or not, even though I was still sick as a dog and really I sat down here about 8 a.m., right at this desk and worked for 12 hours and I got a lot done, powered through, drinking lots of water, medicating heavily, probably over medicating on the, and then, you know, trying to keep my nasal and coughing stuff down. It's probably taking once every 6 hours. Probably was supposed to take it like every 9 or something like that, but I got done. And a lot of podcasters are going to be happy. We're going to be issuing a bunch of checks and stuff, and I'm ready for Q2 advertising. It starts here next week. But anyway, very productive weekend and getting ready here to go to Indianapolis. So here's the deal. There will be a show Thursday and Saturday. Will be a late show on Monday. Now I get in Indianapolis I get in like 5:30 or 6. I'm flying from here to Newark. Yeah, one flight. Newark back to Indy. That was the only United flight I could get because of the scheduling. Yeah, it's going to be ugly. I'm praying I'm going to get an upgrade or it's going to be a long flight in coach. So depending on the shape I'm in, when I get into the hotel Monday night will depend on how long the show is. And then I'm going to be doing a couple of things in Indianapolis, and I'm going to be going out of Indianapolis the second day and the third day and the fourth day I'm back in town. So I'll be doing a show Thursday night from an airport hotel. And so I get back in there in the afternoon too. So it's going to be kind of crazy next week. Just keep you advised. But, you know, it's going to be here, a couple of weeks here. It's going to be nuts because we're going to be off to NAB the following week. So, stand by. The shows will be rolling as they normally will. Hey, if you've been over my Facebook page, I updated some images, took some pictures of the studio. So if you've never seen any of the studio pictures before, feel free to take a look at those. It's a little bit different. And of course, you can find me at Facebook. I think it's facebook.com/Cochran is actually my Facebook page. Saturday morning tech will be again on Saturday. So we should be good. All right. Anyway, let me take care of the last piece of business here and we'll get into the regular content tonight, regular tech content that I have stacked up for you. Got a good lineup of stuff too. So, you know, it's kind of funny because Saturday, as I'm sitting here powering through stuff, my phone was just ringing off the hook and I was no way in any shape or form going to put myself on a camera for a go-to-meeting session because I got the call, and one of the guys said, hey, I want to come up and meet with you for a few minutes. And I'm like, hey, we got to do this over the phone. He's like, what do you mean? We always meet online. So I can meet online, but I can't have the camera on. I look like a wreck. And, you know, it was lucky a buddy of mine, he trusted me, and he just basically did the online session. And I didn't turn the HD faces portion of the meeting on, but, you know, sometimes there's people you can trust, and you don't have to go into that. But when you really don't know someone and you can't see them, you know, it can be a tough hurdle to do to business. And with employees and clients around the world, you know, I recommend using GoToMeeting with HD faces. And it's really a simple way to have an online meeting with groups and to be able to see one another at the same time that you're collaborating on the screen, and saves you money, saves you time. So it just takes a webcam, as long as you're, you know, not looking like you're a wreck, and a click to instantly collaborate with your team and clients. And again, it builds trust and confidence. I use it here for my meetings, except for last Saturday. So start hosting your own face-to-face online meetings today with GoToMeeting. And if you give it a try, and here's the website. Go over to GoToMeeting.com. And you click on the try it free button and use the promo code podcast. There's an orange try it free button, kind of like my bright shirt tonight. I tried to, you know, warm things up in here. It's some of you, it's warmed up on the East Coast. So try to wear some spring bright colors. But when you get over the form there, GoToMeeting.com, put your name in there and enter the promo code podcast. Be sure to use the promo code podcast. It gets us the credit for the for you basically doing the trial. And we want to thank Citrix here for being a sponsor. And there's some information for those of you watching here. I'll leave it up on the screen for a few minutes for you to write it down or to grab your laptop and go give it a try. So thanks for GoToMeeting for being along here. I don't know about you guys, but filled my car up full of gas today. $4.67 is what I'm paid today. Oh, jeez. When is it going to go down? Or are we headed to $5? My goodness. That's all I could say. And, you know, it wasn't $70 today to fill out. It's $73. You know, it's just like every little tick. It's like, oh, it just, you're getting this, like you're getting stabbed in the heart, you know? So, yeah, I need to be able to not travel as much and get in my car and go at $4.67 a gallon. Doesn't take too many trips with the car to save a bunch of money with the online meeting service. Okay. FTC today has announced calls for privacy by design. And they basically released today a set of recommendations for businesses and Congress about the collection and use of consumers' private data, personal data. And they've come up with essentially five tenets to this this recommendation. And I found this article was all over the place at online today, but primarily over at allthingsd.com. They basically talk about one being the do not track, which a lot of people have implemented, and basically this is probably the furthest along of the five tenets of their plan. And browsing vendors are now offering do not track options and to limit data collection. The next target is mobile. The FTC wants to make mobile privacy protections short, effective, accessible to consumers on small screens. And one of the big things they announced today was data brokers. And this is a big one. You know, the FTC wants a centralized website where data brokers identify themselves and they disclose how they collect data on you. It also supports Congress efforts to give consumers access to the data held about them by quote unquote data brokers. Then also what they want to do is the comprehensive tracking. The FTC is concerned that ISPs, operating systems, browsers, and social networks are comprehensively tracking users' online activities, but it won't address this until a public workshop in the second half of this year. So they're looking to put in some limitations of what can be tracked on basically your browser usage. And then they want to put in place enforcing self-regulatory codes. Now, how can you say that? Enforcing self-regulatory codes. So it's basically wants industry to come up with a code of conduct, but not put in a law as of yet. They want recommendations. So how do you get the real nefarious bad companies to, you know, to tell you what they're collecting about you? So it'll be interesting where this goes. I think I'm hearing a young man and a daughter and my young son and my daughter fighting in the background. They're getting a little loud. You guys might hear a little bleed over. Sibling wars are in effect here in the Geek News Central family. We're truly having a Ohana time tonight. But, you know, I think PC World has it right that privacy today is sci-fi fantasy. But what we really have to think about is let's go back in time before computers. Can you imagine going to companies are asking potential employees for their Facebook logins. And I would just be like, I don't even want to work for a company that's going to ask me for my Facebook login. But imagine before the internet, and that wasn't so many years ago, that you're smart, skilled, motivated, and you're an asset some company would want. But during the interview process, the HR manager begins to discuss the benefits package and salary. And he says that they have a few procedural items that you need to go up. They say that they need to assign someone to follow you around with a parabolic microphone to listen in to your conversations with friends. And then they'll have a few more people follow your friends and family around to see what they're saying. Then he says they're going to need full access to a diary that you may have, your personal records, your photo albums. They want the keys to your house so you can go through your home and rifle through all your stuff to see what you have tucked away in the attic and whatnot. And then they're also going to need to do the same to all your friends. They're going to go into your friend's house. And, you know, just because you're wanting to have a job there, assume that's not going to be a problem, right? Can you imagine 20 years ago? You know, that would have meant national news of unprecedented level. Yet, we got companies that are asking for your access to your Facebook page. Now, not only are the manufacturers in the business of, or companies in the business of spying on us and future employers spying on us, now the government is also doing what whoever knows what they're doing, right? With the Patriot Act and everything else that's going on. So, we do not have any privacy anymore. You know, let's be straight up. And do I like it? No. Do I have anything to hide? No. But that's not the issue here. The issue is we have given up so much in the past few years. It's just remarkable. And if you really sit down and think about it, warrantless GPS tracking that had to be overturned by the Supreme Court. They're going to start ISP packet inspection on July 15th. They're going to be looking at what you're doing with the internet. Employers demanding access to your Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus account. What is going on? Now, we talk about privacy a lot on this show, but please, we have to really look at, you know, where do we say enough is enough, or is the cat out of the bag and we never return to the days of yesterday when basically when you closed your front door, what happened behind that door is you're all doggone business and no one else's. You know, I think we've given up so much privacy. Now, I'll be honest with you. I consider myself to be, you know, I'm on the internet. I'm putting myself out there. I'm streaming live. I put, you know, thousands of hours of content out there. I have made a choice to give up a certain amount of privacy to be able to put this show on and do what I do. Do I tell everything? Do you think I'm insane? No, I do not. But at the same point, I'm a pretty open book, you know? But many of you don't want to be, you know? I think PC World's got it exactly right. Privacy is sci-fi fantasy today. And it's amazing what they're going to be doing. I think the FTC is 10 years too late on this one. We'll see where this goes. But, you know, it's not only the privacy stuff. Now you've got Microsoft. And this blows me away. Here, there's a report on Tech Dirt that's saying that Microsoft is spying on Live Messenger, censoring any Pirate Bay link. So if you are on messaging someone and you send someone a Pirate Bay link, they're going to censor that. They're going to strip that. You can no longer send a link via its Live Messenger instant system to the Pirate Bay. Have you got to be kidding me? Now, that's obviously very automated software. But why are they doing this? Links should never be considered infringing because you can have share data on the Pirate Bay that is completely legitimate. Now, you'll be one of the few, but you can share BitTorrent files that are legitimate. But blocking at the link level has got to be extreme and dangerous. You know, Facebook also blocked links to the Pirate Bay. And basically, the Pirate Bay said, hey, due to the controversy around this site, and it was going to assume that the Pirate Bay links were infringing. So you've got Microsoft in the game. Of course, I haven't used Messenger in years, so maybe it's irrelevant. And then we'll go another step further. You've got a student, a young man, about the age of my son, my oldest son. He's at home, and, you know, boys will be boys, right? So he puts in he tweets at 2:30 in the morning from his home. He tweets the following. Now, I can't keep the show child safe, but I'm going to say beep is one of those beep words. You can beep, put anywhere in a beep sentence and still beep makes sense. Obviously, kind of language that a 13-year-old may use. Okay? He tweeted that from his home. His school claims that their system tracks all the tweets of Twitter when a student logs in at school. Now, first of all, why a student can log in to Twitter from school is beyond me on a mobile device, you know, or maybe a school computer. But because they were monitoring it, they expelled him. Huh? The school expelled the student for something he said at 2:30 in the morning at his home. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm a pretty proactive parent. And if my son said something like that on Twitter, you know, him and I would have a discussion. Because I watch what he does on Facebook. I watch what he does on other sites. We have a very strict set of rules on logs and computers and everything else. And he knows that, you know, basically violating those rules will end up in basically a year's ban from the internet. And that, you know, he's been very good about not testing that boundary. But if there's something that comes up and I need to discuss with him, I'm going to. But if his school tried to expel him for using a four-letter word in a tweet from his home at 2:30 in the morning, me and that school are going to have an issue in a big way. In a big way. Parents, how come parents aren't allowed to be parents no more? Schools have to be parents now? So this technology that we all have, that we all love, there's these extremes. A kid cannot be a kid. Adults can't have any privacy behind their own locked doors. Companies want to know who you're Facebooking with. Something is inherently bad. I mean, we have a big, you know, this is story after, if it was an isolated case here and there, but we're hearing about this again and again and again and again, right? And we don't even allow people to have, we don't even allow citizens to criticize anymore. You know, the TSA has freaked out. They have basically gotten one of their longtime critics by the name of Bruce Shiner kicked off. An oversight hearing is happening in Washington, D.C. tomorrow because they don't want him to say things about them that is probably true. There's no accountability anymore. And people are just doing whatever they want. You know, something's got to change, right? Where do we need to go? You guys need to feed me some feedback here. Geeknews@gmail.com. Call the hotline, 619-342-7365. If you guys can't tell, I'm kind of built tonight to this point where I'm kind of like, WTF over? I don't get it. I really don't, you know? And I'm like, wow. Well, you know, kind of switching topics here. They finally beat down the Right Haven group to the point where they're not even showing up for court no more. So everything that's remaining in the legal system is getting dismissed and boards are reviewing people's law licenses and everything. So that is resolved. It's done. You know, thank goodness. Man, we kind of knew that already, but, you know, these lawyers aren't just, they're even just afraid to show up to any court hearings anymore. But, you know, if the privacy situation wasn't bad enough, now we're into a situation where contactless bank cards are basically now being proven to be very vulnerable to pickpocketing by nothing more than the NFC phones that are starting to hit the market. So imagine you have a new contactless bank card. Barclays in the UK has given these out along with some other banks. These haven't really been hitting the United States yet too much. But apparently, with a standard NFC reader, you're going to be able to walk up to someone and basically tap that person's wallet with your phone. And you're going to be able to get the credit card number, the person's name, the expiration date. The only thing you're not going to get is the actual 3-digit code on the back. So, you know, no one anymore allows you to buy anything without using that three-number code, right? Wrong. So, you know, you're going to be carrying around this bank card that you're probably going to have to wrap in aluminum foil. And if you don't, Amazon is going to basically, you know, someone logs on Amazon, uses that card number. They don't have to put that CVV2 code in. And so there's a lot of, merchants that don't require that CV code to be put in when you buy something. So I'm sure the crooks don't know where any of those sites are either, right? Okay, and a little more friendly news. Those of you that have been waiting for Windows 8, the preview version is beating Windows 7 in most performance tests. So the folks over at itworld.com did some head-to-head testing, and believe it or not, Windows 8 beat Windows 7 significantly in several tests. So basically, the preview started up faster and generally ran faster than the same desktop running Windows 7. And they tested, they used some of their own labs, baseline testing systems. And, but they saw some good improvements on startup time and different processes and so forth. So that's good news for those of you thinking about upgrading that have a Windows 7 machine. And obviously anything that is an upgrade over Windows Vista or Windows 98 is going to obviously be a major upgrade. right? Some judges or a court in Japan and basically ordered Google to change the autocomplete function in Google search. Apparently one guy was putting his name in and the autocomplete was trying to link the guy's name to some very horrible activities that he did not do, or there was another person with that name that had done. So the court's citing irretrievable damage has asked Google to make changes to the autocomplete function in Japan. And I don't know if they completely understand it, but that's what's been ordered. Google has not responded to it yet, and we'll see where it goes. Okay. All right, Comcast users, you're going to be excited about this. Okay. You have Comcast, you have Xbox, right? You have a 250 gigabit per month limit. Are you worried about going over your limit when you're on Netflix or you're on different services and renting videos? Well, check this out. It looks like Comcast is preparing to move for a limited beta test to a wide release of its long-promised Xbox Live streaming video app. And here are the details. If you use the video streaming app on the Xbox, you will not get charged towards your 250 gig limit. Why? It's because all of the traffic will be coming from within the Comcast network, the internal network, and they will not have to go outside the network to deliver you that content. So you can go crazy on the app. Now, what it's going to provide, I don't know. But you're going to be able to eat to your heart's content within the app on the Xbox and not have it go against your 250 gig cap. So that's pretty exciting stuff for those of you that are Comcast users. Now, that is a smart move by Comcast in a big way. All right, Microsoft today announced really a huge development in them going after botnets. Microsoft and their legal team used racketeering law, the RICO Act, to seize servers and take down botnets. So this past Friday, armed with a federal warrant and backed by U.S. Marshals, Microsoft employees raided web hosting centers in Scranton, Pennsylvania, Lombard in Illinois, to see service and take possession of hundreds of internet domain names and servers, basically taking down Zeus botnets that pretty nasty. They collect keylogging data from infected computers. Microsoft thinks that there are as many as 13 million computers infected worldwide with this Zeus botnet, and they took down three or four variants of it. They say it's not going to completely get rid of it because these guys are pretty slick, but they basically have seized a huge number of assets. And this is the second time Microsoft has done something. So nice to see that Microsoft is using their resources to kind of go after some of these bad things that are out there happening. Let me take a shot of water here. All right, Apple has acted on something that they warned the developers on. Apple has basically rejecting apps that basically use the UDID as part of its identification system of you. And what that is every iPhone and iPad has what's called a UDID. And it's a unique long number that basically identifies your phone to you. And that's the way you do it in the developer mode, is you identify which UDID you want to give access. And you can still do this in the developer mode, but when you are going into releasing the app, you no longer can be grabbing the UDID data anymore. So any apps that are now being rejected, and I don't know if they're going to be removing those apps, other apps out there that are doing it or not, but they've been doing blanket rejections. And this is good. So we'll see how this goes. Trying to help with the privacy, obviously, for all of us. Excuse me here. I'm just amazed at times on how much money some startups burn through. Remember the startup Color? And that's what they're called. And they've got an app called Color. They were given $41 million. And it was hyped to like nobody's business. And I actually got, where's my phone? I actually think I've got the app here on my phone. And let me actually look. Let me search for it. Obviously, let's see here. Oh, yeah, it's still on my phone. Now it's some sort of a streaming device or something. And I guess I'm only one of about 30,000 people that actually have ever used this app. $41 million and only 30,000 active users. That is just shocking. And it's not even used the way it was originally used for and what they projected it to be used for. But boy, they sure got some serious exposure. $41 million. I bet you the investors on that one are just torqued. I can't imagine what a startup with $41 million. Can't imagine what you can do with that kind of money. A single app, one app, $41 million. What were those investors thinking about, really? All right, many of you, moving on to a different topic here, many of you are probably not fans of Rupert Murdoch, especially they've been under the News Corp's been under the gun heavily in the UK, taking a lot of heat here in the United States as well. But it apparently, this is a BBC article. Any of you guys remember ITV Digital? Now, we got to go back a ways, okay? This is in the 90s. And I think I remember hearing about this. But basically, what they're saying is that Murdoch's firm used a hacker site to target a paid TV rival. Now, that's what's being accused here. Apparently, News Corp recruited a paid TV pirate to post hacked details of a rival's secret codes online. And basically, it gave access to everyone that had one of these smart cards, and they could just basically get all ITV services and didn't have to pay for it. And it basically put them out of business. So can you imagine that your rival gets hold of the magic keys to your service and just has them spread and has you destroyed? So there's a lot of stuff going on over this right now, because there's stuff going on in the UK dealing with Ofcom and some others. And I'm still trying to come up completely up to speed here with the, and maybe one of our UK folks can help me out. But apparently there's some licensing discussions going on right now, and some of this may be coming back to haunt News Corp and Ofcom and some other folks. But this is pretty eye-opening. If this turns out to be the case, I don't know what repercussions that company has anymore today, but holy smokes, it just goes to prove, don't ever have any type of master password ever that will just basically give people free access to your entire lineup of services. That's just like, that's kind of stupid by design. But number two, can you imagine? And there's no way to revert. That just, it's amazing. It really is. All right, those of you who have HTC phones, HTSense.com is a cloud backup service that is shutting down in preparation for launch of a new and improved service. So the HTSense.com service, again, lets HTC phone users back up contacts, messages, call history, and geotagged to cloud. So they're saying get your stuff off, because they're going to be deleting the data on April 30th. But they haven't announced when their new service is going to be launched. So be aware of that. I've never had an HTC phone, but if you have one, that's forthcoming. There's been some folks that over at Microsoft have gotten some egg on their face today, because they've had this challenged out. And they're doing a contest where it's basically smoked by a Windows phone, where there's this challenge that you can bring an Android in, and there's some set task you do, and you race a Windows phone. Well, one Android user whipped up on the Windows phone in a big way, and then the person that was managing the contest at the time basically disqualified the guy, and it turned out to be just complete blow up, and it made the web today. And Microsoft finally came back and said, hey, we made a mistake. We didn't smoke you, and you know, you're going to go ahead and get your prize. But it looks to me that Microsoft really figured out how to work a contest to make Android users look bad. And this is probably one of those PR things that are going to go down in history as, why did we ever do this? But one thing's for sure, it's gotten Windows Phone some exposure today that they may not have gotten otherwise, because I didn't even hear about the contest, to be honest with you. But a few folks had to get their picture taken on with their Android held up next to a sign that I got smoked by a Windows Phone that's going to be used in some future PR campaigns. We'll see how far that goes. But I have the link up here from The Verge. They talk about the type of test that Microsoft was, or these head-to-head competitions that Microsoft was doing with Android phone users. And I don't know if they were doing it with iPhone as well. Gosh, I'm sorry. I wish I'd had a blank off button here. Apologize for sniffing in your nose there. We'll push the mic away next time. But anyway, I have this link up in the show notes. Again, apologize. All right. A lot of good articles tonight on the BBC. And one on the medical front. How many of you have an aversion to needles? Well, some little engineer or inventor in the UK has come up with a new type of needle. And come on, baby, load. Let me. How come that page is not loading? BBC's loading slow tonight. I guess it's finally loading up. Okay, web page is not available. We'll try that again. So what's going on is that they have devised, so this inventor has devised a needle that basically pokes you twice. First time it does it with a real tiny needle, puts a little antiseptic, basically kind of like a little local, little antiseptic there. And then the big needle comes in and does what it's supposed to do, either put in a line or give you a shot or whatever it is. And you don't have to use two needles. It's kind of it's a quick little thing. And it says it's a painless shot. So a pain-free needle. Only time will tell. I tell you, I've had some nurses and would-be nurses and technicians. You know, sometimes you just don't want to look because they're just not good with a needle. So I'm all for any type of thing that gives them an edge where they're not going to hurt me all the time. And because, you know, I always ask, you know, someone's getting ready to draw blood. How many times have you done this? Oh, I've done thousands of them. Oh, I'm kind of new around here. You know, it's going to be a long morning sitting in a chair getting blood drawn. But, you know, I think as I've gotten older, I used to be able to watch. Now I just kind of look away. It's not because I'm queasy. I don't know. I just, maybe I've gotten a weaker stomach. You know, I've never passed out or nothing, but I know some people. I have a friend of mine, man. If he sees a needle, he doesn't have to be for him. He'll be like, he'll turn white, and you'll be like, have to grab onto his arm because he's getting ready to go down. It's just something about needles. He sees a needle and it's like, oh, he turns into jelly. Some people are like that. I understand it, you know, probably something happened as a child and they had some, you know, you can't remember, but, anyway, you got an aversion to needles. I have to laugh today because there's an article over on dumblittleman.com and they're always putting out these lists, and I'm not always a big list guy, but this one said 10 ways to find more hours in your day. Now you guys know, you guys know that I put in massive hours. And many times I get asked by people, how do you do everything that you do in the time that you do it? And it's even I sometimes amaze my own self. So I thought to myself, okay, let's read this here. Let me share with you guys and see how many of these match up to maybe you. So number one, get out of bed earlier. If you normally get up at 7:30, try getting up at 7. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I get up at 5. 5:15 at the latest, at least 6 days a week. So number one, so that's, I do follow that. Number two, use your commute productively. Oh, I do. When I'm on my commute, I'm on the phone. I do a lot of business between here and downtown. Don't say that it's always an efficient use of the time, but it's better. Tackle the important tasks first. Number three, I don't know if I do that so much, but it's probably a good thing to do. Number four, don't check email so often. I know I could take this advice. I know I should follow that one because I check email way too much. Number five, reduce interruptions. Oh, I agree with that. When you need to get something done, reducing those interruptions is critical. Closing the door, you know, I do a lot of work from home. So closing the door and in basically, you know, treating it as you're really at the office. Don't answer the house phone and everything. Number six, stay focused on your work. Well, okay. You know, that's a given, right? Number seven, go home on time. And going to be more productive? No, there's no such thing as going home on time. You know, there's no thing as quitting work early. That doesn't happen. I'm sorry. That one won't work for me. You know, it says if you're supposed to finish work at 4 p.m., but you never make it off until 6, it's no wonder that you don't have enough hours in a day. Wasn't that the purpose? The 2 extra hours to be able to work more? Delegate some chores. That's true. I could do more of that. Eat dinner at home. I do that every day. Every day I'm home, I eat dinner at home. And number 10, limit your TV watching. TV? What's TV? Is that thing I watch for about 15 minutes at 11:30 at night when I lay my head down on my pillow and make sure I turn the timer on because I'm usually not awake to shut it off? Yeah, I limit my TV watching because that's, the old BloobTube is just a time sink. It really, really is. All right, let's go on some more tech stuff here. Hey, the Russians have deorbited the Express AM4 satellite. We talked about this on a previous show where they were trying to negotiate that to be a South Pole orbiting satellite, which would have allowed the Antarctic folks down there to have more connectivity. They didn't. They dumped it in the brink today. So it's splashed down. All right, there's three great articles. I'm not going to go into these in detail here because it's probably going to take more time than we have left in the show to do it. But let me just kind of quickly summarize here. TorrentFreak.com has a great set of articles. Basically, the mega upload people are coming out and throwing some fisticuffs. And the big headline here on the first article from them was entertainment industry was eager to work with Mega Upload. And I'm reading some of these emails. And to summarize, I've gotten these type of emails before, and many times they're often sent by people that have a list. And I'm really questioning some of these being legitimate business inquiries. A couple of them look almost like form letters, but I'll give Mega Upload the benefit of the doubt that the media industry was trying to work with them. But I think the more damning content here was some stuff that has been put out by Kim.com talking about some of the main arguments and some of the major indictments issues. And talking about some things that they address about Warner Brothers not being able to do mass deletions, where they were actually truly allowed 100,000 deletes per day versus 5,000, what they accused them only of getting. Talking about a variety of different things on Disney and all the other groups that were given access to basically down to kill media files at will. Talking about stealing from artist 50 Cent and how that. There was actually no downloads on a specific file that they talked about, and that there was actual testing going on from one Mega Upload owner to another. So there's a whole bunch of things here that looks to me like the Mega Upload folks are going to be ready to do battle here soon in their initial reply to the U.S. government's claims. Time will see how this rolls out. But the folks at Torrent Freak say, having digested the above, it does seem that the U.S. indictment doesn't tell the whole story, you think? Or that it was one-sided, to say the least. So the question is, why were they targeted so heavily? And I think this is an interesting conclusion by the folks at Torrent Freak. They basically say that we know that the copyright lie headed by the MPAA has been one of the main facilitators of criminal investigations. It is also not a secret the MPAA and other lobby groups hire former high-ranked government officials. We know that the current head of the MPAA is a former Senator Chris Dodd, and in recent months alone, the MPAA has also hired former employees from the Justice Department, the White House staff, and the Senate Judiciary Committee. Needless to say, the movie industry group is obviously very well connected. On the other side, we see that Neil McBride, the U.S. attorney who filed the mega upload indictment, has connections to the copyright lobby as well. He served as the vice president for the anti-piracy and general counsel for the Business Software Alliance. Yes, you guys know who the BSA is, MPAA software counterpart. And so there's a whole bunch of stuff here with the some accusations being made on, you know, some quid pro quo being going on with these groups. And it's an interesting read. So I have that link in the show notes. You guys can go through it. And it does make you go, oh, this is going to be a good fight. It really is. One thing I will say is a lot of military guys, as they've been reporting as well, use Mega Upload to send, you know, pictures to their wives and stuff and movies. And, you know, and having served and being overseas where there was no easy way to send the wife a video or send the wife some pictures, you just couldn't email stuff because the email restrictions and everything else. Oftentimes, Mega Upload or a site like that, a locker, would be a great place to put some pictures where you could upload through a browser versus an email client and send some pictures to a loved one. So there was a huge number of military guys that had accounts, premium accounts too, over 10,000 military guys had premium accounts. A lot of government people had them as well. There were folks from the DHS, DOE, FBI, HHS, NASA, Senate, Treasury, and U.S. courts all had accounts on Mega Uploads. That makes you go, huh. So we'll see if they use any of that in their court proceedings. But anyway, this is going to be an epic battle when the court proceedings get underway with Mega Upload. All right. Oftentimes, those of you that are traveling or have a laptop would sometimes want a second monitor. And maybe your computer doesn't have the output. Well, the folks at Targus have a great USB 3.0 dual video adapter. This is using DisplayLink technology. We've talked about this many times on the show. This is a $99 value, probably a great addition. So if you're looking to expand to another monitor, not have to worry about resources on the laptop to drive it, you'll definitely want to check out DisplayLink certified Targus USB 3.0 dual video adapter. And it's a good review on Ogizmo. Another cool thing I found on Ogizmo, and this one here, okay, I just have to share this because it's not something I would have in my car. But how many of you like a little espresso in the morning? Every once in a while, I'll take an espresso instead of a coffee. You know, just a quick little shot. It's a nice way to get a good jolt or a double espresso. But have you ever wanted an espresso in your car and there was no Starbucks in sight? Well, now you can. For $200, you can have the Handpresso Auto. Will basically make you a cup of espresso right on the spot. All you have to do is add water and place in an espresso pod and start it up. You then hold the thing over a cup, which you just, of course, happen to have in your car, and it will create premium quality espresso. I'll be straight up. I don't want anything that is making coffee in my car. That is a recipe for black, dirty, nasty carpets. I want my coffee in a cup that's sealed, that can't spill, that has a hole about the size of a straw. No, thank you. Can you even imagine making coffee in your car? It's $200. You want one? You can get it. I'll have a link up over at ogizmo.com. All right, lovers. If you're dating, if you're married, Pair is an app for long-distance lovers. If you're going to be away from I told my wife, honey, we need to get this app Pair. So when I'm on travel, we can send each other sweet nothings. And she just kind of, you know, we've been married a while. I just kind of got that roll of the eyes. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to load it on her iPad anyway. And then when I'm on travel next time, I'm going to take some pictures. No, nothing naughty. And write her some little notes and send it back and forth. And we'll see if she actually uses it. So anyway, Pair is a new app out there. So if you have a girlfriend or you have a wife that's still into getting sweet nothings from you, or husbands, vice versa, definitely check it out. Okay. Hey, everyone keeps saying, oh, Zune's dead. Zune's dead. Zune is not going anywhere. On Windows 8, the Zune marketplace is front and center. So those of you that are podcasters out there or creating media, you definitely need still to be in the Zune marketplace. Can't wait. This is big. With it being right in the front page of Windows 8, you know, that's big. Yeah, I would assume that we're going to gain audience share when Windows 8 comes out. The key is to know the right person who controls who's in the podcast special space. We won't say that we know anyone like that on the show, right? Saturday Morning Tech Watchers. Anyway, so we'll see what happens with this. But Microsoft Zune Marketplace is right on the front page of the new Windows 8. Very, very exciting. If you have a prescription or anything like that, if you do business with Rite Aid, Walgreens, CVS, there's a smartphone app for you. You can scan your barcode of your prescription, and if it's due for a refill, you can pick it up at one of those three pharmacies. So anyway, they've got this is a new app that's available, and to be able to refill your prescription. Okay. All right, a couple of Geek News Central articles that came out is Jen wrote a good article on FlixFling and Orb about ready to release what's called FlixFling TV. And basically, they're combining the FlixFling movie subscription service with Orb's wireless video streaming hardware. And so this could be kind of cool. We'll see what happens with this, but this gives FlixFlings his unlimited streaming movie subscription service and the Orb TV wireless streaming media player. So when you subscribe for this package, you get both a membership to FlixFling and a membership to Orb TV. And it has over 8,000 independent and studio movies for you to watch. So we'll keep you advised on that. I actually got an announcement on another device today. Hopefully be able to announce that on the next show. We'll be able to talk about it. That it's a new service that's launching that I think you'll be able to watch Geek News Central on and a variety of other content that you're not going to get on your normal TV. Another article that was written over at Geek News Central was by KL. And we got a lot of lady writers now. I think we have a total of three. We've got Jen, KL, and Susabel. So we have the great lady tech thoughts on this. So, you know, we have a great team of women writing. And so definitely check these articles out. So this article, again, is by KL. And let me load it here. KL has a good discussion about XMBC and AirPlay. So this is kind of a unique deal here. So essentially what's happening is there's a new release of XMBC, which is XMBC is a free open source cross-platform media center. It's available for Windows, Mac, Linux, and Apple TV, and many other devices. And but anyway, this new update is called Eden, and it basically re-enables the ability to do AirPlay between your iPad and your Apple TV. And so definitely get this update, and she's got information about it, links in the article for you to check out. I was not familiar with Media Center until I read the article as well. This afternoon, as I was checking my Gmail once too many times, I noticed a new link in the header bar on on the Google toolbar. It was a link to Play. Now, I don't have an Android phone. I've got the Android, basically the Amazon Kindle. So I had no idea what play.google.com was. And so I was like, okay, what's this? And when I clicked over there, basically Play. And let me load this for you guys here that are watching. Play.google.com is basically where you can get apps, music, books, movies, and Android apps for your mobile device. But also, they're now doubling this as a new destination place for those of you probably using a Google TV or even your browser to get access to music, books, movies, and of course, Android apps. So I was pretty, this is pretty interesting. This is a heavy play here. This is definitely a strike against Apple and iTunes. Here you have it's web-based. You don't need to be loading any third-party app. So anyway, play.google.com. Many of you that have Android phones are already aware of this website, but now it's right on your toolbar and available when you're logged into Gmail. So Google continues to march forward here and press the Android point forward. All right, last article tonight. Facebook owns the word book. Apparently, if you now use the word book to represent the word that comes after face in that company name, they say you can't use it. Facebook is trying to expand its trademark rights over the word book by adding the claim to a newly revised version of its statement of rights and responsibilities. The agreement all users implicitly consent. Yes, I'm saying implicitly consent to by using or accessing Facebook. The new revised user agreement reads as follows. You will not use our copyrights or trademarks, including Facebook, the Facebook and the F logos, FB, Face, Poke, Book, and Wall, or any confusingly similar marks except as expressly permitted by our brand usage guidelines or with our prior written permission. So here's the deal. You're agreeing now that you can never say the word book by agreeing to Facebook's revised statement of rights and responsibilities. Something is wrong with that. And unbelievable. So I guess you can't say MacBook. Oh, you can say Mac, but you can't say book. Oh, I have a book to. Oh, I can't say book. I have a journal. I have a. You know, oh, yeah. Book. I'm doing copyright violation here. Oh, Facebook needs to get a grip. All right. Let's go into the email here. No voicemails. You guys don't love me anymore. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is available 619-342-7365. All right. Here's got an email here from Alan. He said, hey, Todd, record-breaking hailstone falls in Hawaii. Yeah, I guess someone found a super-sized piece of hail, and it was big, about 4.5 inches. Excuse me, 4 1/4 inches long by 2 1/4 inches tall. I'm sure they didn't have like 10 pieces that stacked together and the guy crushed them in the hand. But anyway, they say that is a record-breaking hailstone that landed here a couple weeks ago. None on my side, thanks goodness. All right, James Cameron has basically did a dive to the deepest spot in the Marianas Trench, but he was doing another dive yesterday that he had to abort because of a hydraulic leak, but some big news on that. Thanks for Tim. I'll have that linked up in the show notes. Got an email here from Richard, and basically Richard has woke up, said, whoa, dude, what's going on? And, of course, this is talking about the internet service providers coming on board on July 15th and starting to monitor what you're doing on the internet. So be aware that, I'm glad, Richard, you saw this, but thanks for that link. I'll have that up in the show notes for you. Jim, thanks for sending me over the link to the appbuilder.com. Hey, also, we had one of our Ohana members put together an app, and he's a listener of the show, and he put together an Android app. I need to look at it a little closer. There is a couple of issues I think I'm going to have to get back with him. But if you want to build an app, always please, I really truly support people doing stuff for the show. I really do. And matter of fact, we're in a dire need of an iTunes app. We're never able to kind of close the loop on the original iTunes app that was supposed to have been built a couple of years ago. But really need to try to stick with the colors of the program, and we need to kind of make sure that, you know, there is a certain level of branding and stuff I want to maintain. So I will get back with the Ohana member that put together the app and recommend some changes. But, you know, always email me. I'm always looking, if people have ideas and want to put stuff together, please, you know, help me out, help building the show. It's always greatly supported. And I'm not going to stop anyone from putting anything up online, but we definitely try to stick with the colors. And I give people permission to use the G and, you know, our colors and our logo stuff for, you know, for apps. I have no problem with that. As long as it's, make sure it's everything links back to Geek News Central and of course you can take credit for creating the app. That's fine. But I thank Jim for sending this over as well, the appbuilder.com, and we'll definitely take a look at that. So I think that's it. I want to wish my sister a belated birthday. Missed it completely. Hope you had a good one, sis. And everyone else, I think we're it. We're done. And let me double check, make sure I've got the dates right on from the last show. Oh, actually, I got a couple more emails. We already talked about Facebook threatening legal action against employers. We got the Google strikes back against the NBAA. We already talked about that the last show. And, oh, yeah, I got these all. All right, everyone, again, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline, again, 619-342-7365. Twitter account is @geeknews. Hope you enjoyed the show today. We'll be back with you on Thursday for another edition of the Geek News Central podcast. My name is Todd Cochran. Get over here to Geek News Central. Check all our great content. Support our sponsors. Keep me in business. Keep my lights on, my family fed. Do those GoToMeeting trials. Pick up those GoDaddy products, renewals, everything else. It really helps. It really does. Thanks, everybody. And also, become an insider. If you want to help me eliminate advertisers from the show completely, geeknewscentral.com/insider. Every penny that comes in from the insider program really helps the show a lot. And if you want to become an insider, please do. Everyone, thanks. Take care. We'll see you next time. And aloha.